So we'll start with the C-section because the other lady had such a lead up going into it, was totally supported. She wasn't traumatized by the experience, which is not the same as many other people. So I'm actually going to write a book of a cesarean roadmap. So what I actually need people to do is to come up with what they wish they'd known. Now I'm quite surprised by what people come out with. Like, somebody needs to collate all this and then present it as a, well, we could do better than this. And I'm going to ask you in a minute, like, we'll write it down. And then the questions I will send out to anybody who wants them, because I think I'll just do this over a month.
Yeah.
And then, okay, I could be going on forever. We're not doing perfect. We're doing this is good enough, because nobody's done anything about this. And so I know when I had a cesarean, I have no idea what they told me. I was so busy trying to cope with the situation I had that I know I was sort of left to my own devices. There wasn't really any follow-up care, although because I intended to have a home birth midwife, she was doing the care afterwards. So I guess the reason I don't know anything about it is I didn't need to. But as an acupuncturist, I was really concerned that I was getting a build-up of adhesions, like a great big lumps under the scar to about, I don't know, half an inch or so on the upper side, and I knew I was going to end up with a shelf like this. So I actually put needles in it and did my own treatment when it was 2 weeks old, simply because it was really bothering me. And also, it actually, the skin on my belly actually really hurt, which is not usual, but I had a whole bunch of funny things going on. So it wasn't just numb, but it actually hurt to touch. Yeah. So I was trying to undo what was going on. And they wouldn't have had any clue as to what to do to tell me. And I know that the midwife didn't even give me any exercises to do. So here I am, having had a major abdominal operation. I've got the baby. I'm a single mother. I've got two other kids, one special needs, and no money, and nobody looking after me. And I left home. I left after 4 days because of the rubbish that they were getting on with there. And so there was me with cracked nipples with thrush in them, no help. And I had somebody there for 2 weeks, and that was why I had to have the baby a bit early. And then I was there by myself doing all my shopping 2 weeks after I'd had the C-section and doing everything because there was nobody else. Now, this is not the golden month. So I don't have any trauma after my C-section because it was either that or I'd die. And I had too many other balls in the air to be bothered about me being precious. I had to just keep on going. So I did. But that's not everybody else's story. And so the story I tend to get, as I've discovered by talking to people in the past couple of days since Saturday night, is that women might be 30 years later are still going to break down in tears, even though they have done so much work, because they're therapists themselves. And they worked with me, and it's still there. And it's shocking, the stories I'm hearing, and it's not the half of it. I mean, so what I'm wanting to do is to come up with, yes, we're going to need more support after we've had a C-section. We should be in hospital for longer. We've had a major abdominal operation. The breast milk is not going to come in as easily as it normally does, and they're not telling anybody that. We're going to have all sorts of dramas if we've had a terrible labour or time leading into the C-section. And for most people who look like they're a bit dicky, I say to them, look, just go to a C-section. You've got an OP, you don't have anybody else around you. I can see where this is going to go. They're going to induce you because it's overdue. It's overdue with marks in the air, because the uterus isn't going to start contracting because the baby's not hitting the right spot for labour to go well. So the body's waiting for mum and somebody to wake up to the fact the baby needs to be in the optimal fetal position, which people are ignoring. So then they get induced, and then they have a wonky labour, which I did for my third, very wonky. And eventually they go off and have an emergency C-section. Why bother? If you're not going to sort out the recalcitrant OP, particularly if it's the first one and she's an older mother, just say, look, just cut the bullshit and go off. And yes, I know you want a natural labour, but nobody set you up, which is why I did What Dads Can Do. Because I had been an OP and I'd spent my whole life listening to my mother's horror story about what that did to her, and it was my fault. She was quite mad as well on account of her birth with me. And I had my daughter as a Franco OP getting obstructed with a facial presentation. So I know how it can end. And it ended really well with me relative to the cesarean section. So, like, I've had an amount of things go on for me to be able to go, I think we need to have a bit more informed consent. There needs to be a better duty of care. I know they're too busy freaking everybody out about vaccination and induction. That's not actually where the dramas start. They start because we're not actually in control. And I say that word loosely. We don't have sovereignty over our vehicle.
Yeah.
And if we're not the ones who have been walked through, as the story you have just heard, she was totally at peace with everything because it was that or both of them were going to die. Now, for me, it was the same. And if we're not part of the decision-making process, even though it's a foregone conclusion, we're going to have residue, we're going to end up in trauma, we're going to end up with our body at variance with our head, and we've got a baby stuck in the middle of that.
Yeah.
And so what I'm trying to do is undo what has happened for women, because they're going to want another baby, and quite a lot of don't ever have another one because of the trauma that they had in a C-section. So this business about how to heal after a bad birth, it's the baby that had the bad birth.
Yeah.
Mum orchestrated it by not being more prepared.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
Yeah.
And there we are going, but I've got a home birth midwife, I've spent the amount of money I have on the doula, as well as my private obstetrician. Yeah, but we're all going to have to do something as women who've done it before and go, okay, personally, this was my birth story. And this is like Ina May Gaskin in her Spiritual Midwifery book. She wrote that as an assignment for her English major, how people write things. And so out of that came a gift to the world.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm intending to do here for birthing advocates, birthing women, anybody who's got anything to do with what are we going to do next? Because this is what happened last time. And that includes all of the people who are in a healing capacity, because nobody is dealing with this in the acupuncture realm. They're not really dealing with it in anything I've ever come upon. And basically women are being raped. Medically, they are being freaked out. Now, I know that's happening with every aspect of birthing. I get it. I've been doing this for 40 years as a clinician, and my eldest is 43. So I have spanned the 70s, 80s, and 90s as the patient, and here I am now, almost 2020, and it's gone way back into the dark ages. And nobody's remembering that the baby's got to have a mum who's bonded, who's intact, who wants to be a mum. She's too busy in her own stuff.
Yeah.
And nobody's understanding that the highest cause of death in Australia and New Zealand in late maternity, which is the year after having a baby, is suicide. And who cares? Well, the dad does. Everybody left, as well as the baby.
Yeah.
And all of the siblings. Shouldn't have happened. Oh, we'll give her more medication. Come on. The reason she's on medication, go back to what the farm in the book in Spiritual Midwifery, look up the farm Ina May Gaskin. And look at the statistics. Over 3,000 births, less than 1%, I think, had postnatal depression. And that happened when they started having women coming in who were going to leave their baby there. You know, it's an open policy. If you want to have your baby here and you don't want the baby, we will take, you know, because they will have people there who can't have babies at the farm. We will raise it here.
Yeah.
Also, they went through 186 births before they needed a C-section.
Yeah.
What does that say about the C-section rate? Not a lot of good things. Okay. Now, they didn't necessarily know about pelvic stuff, although they quickly went down to Mexico and did a lot of the work that I now carry with me as well. And Western medicine isn't doing any of that. You can't say, I've got the Webster technique, I've gone to the Cairo. Yeah, well, if that's your missing piece of the jigsaw, well done. But for most of us, there's a lot more going on, and we need to be more aware. And should we end up in the sausage factory that has led us into the C-section, we need a roadmap of what to do after. Because it's not that straightforward, which is a different one, which I'll do next. How to heal after a birth, generic birth.
Yeah.
You know, a normal mammalian one, because nobody's telling us that either. And then we've got the one that we got interfered with. And then there's another one, which is your survivor of rape and incest, and you've gone through a birth. That's a different one again. Okay, so there's a theme going through the whole lot, that if mum is actually looked after, she's better off.
Yes.
But we're not looking after mum. Mm. We're looking after hospital protocol. We're looking after everybody else's sensibilities, and nobody's thinking about what about the baby. So I'm actually here as the baby's advocate. To do that, I have to get mum to actually be wanting to be a mum, mm. and she's quite likely not in that state after she's had the C-section, or she physically can't because she nearly died in it because of what they did, or leading up to that, that's led her there. So she's still on the planet, and so is the baby. Yes, we can be grateful for that, and at this day and age, I would hope so. Mm. But what do we do about helping her get into the swing of being herself again?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is quite often when I start talking on these, it's not what I thought we were going to do, but this is what it evolved into. Mm. I'm going to be asking questions of people, and those listening to this might write them down. Okay, there's your point to go and quickly get a pen and a bit of paper, or tap it out on your phone or whatever you're doing. The first thing is, the question you ask yourself is, how do I feel about my cesarean now? The next question is, how did I feel about the cesarean, if you can access it, when it happened? The next question is, what sort of birth did your mother have with you? And what story did you get about your own birth all through your life? The next question is, what led you down the path of having a C-section? There's some pretty interesting stories I've uncovered so far, and a lot of them have got nothing to do with medical need but lack of support.
Mm.
And the worst ones so far have been private. I try and get everybody to go public to birth, and they get sold, like vaccination, into the bells and whistles. Look at the wallpaper. Look, we're going to give you these meals. And I think, except that they haven't, it's not a hotel. And actually, you know, they may not have those rooms, and they may have nowhere for you because there's a run-on for some reason. Whereas, you know, and that would be another conversation, why choose how to birth instead of who's with you?
Mm.
Because who's with you is going to dictate how it is. So the questions you're asking yourself as a revision, if you've only got your bit of paper now, is how do I feel about the cesarean now? And if you've had many, you might just clump them all together, because I do have a woman who's going for her 7th in 8 or 9 years. Okay, so it's going to be a bit of a blur. And then, how did I feel about the cesarean? If you can imagine how you were after it happened, then what sort of birth did your mother have with you? What sort of story were you led into all of your life? And how come you got into this cesarean, the one, or if many, which one? So you might want to do a little spreadsheet with a list, and I might put that on this page online as well, and go, right, this is what you can print out and then fill in, and then maybe scan it and send it back to me or something, because this is a research project that I'm only doing until basically Easter 2019. And so then after that, I'll sit down and I'll collate it all, and from there I'll have done what needs to happen, and then I'll run workshops on how to birth better, so we don't get into this mess, which, if you're listening to this, go and download. And there's a chart on birth easy birth preparation, but ideally you would go and buy the ebook package, Birthing Solutions, Easy Birthing Solutions, which includes the What Dad Can Do book. And the DVDs, Birthing What Dads Can Do, Massage What Dads Can Do, can go on that as well. Even if you're having a C-section, you're still going to need to heal afterwards, and all of the information about pelvic opening and pelvic repair for a wonderful sexual experience afterwards is all in there. Everybody wants to stay with the father of their child or the partner of their child. So what we need to do is have a more holistic approach, and to do that, we have had that birth, but we might still be stuck in the trauma of being told we were having a cesarean, or being told we nearly died, or whatever that we're stuck in. We need to get over that, because we've got at least one child, probably, in our sphere that we actually need to be present for. And this is the issue. A lot of us are stuck in somewhere, and I'm suggesting we can get a roadmap out of that, which is not how to heal after a bad birth, it's how to move onwards into maternal bliss.
Mm-hmm.